Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius.
He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome in to Pick and Pod WFUV's NBA podcast. I'm Gabby Price, joined by Owen Kelty and Ethan Wax. We're recording this on Wednesday, April 22nd. It's the first week of the NBA playoffs. It's a busy time for us as well with finals and classes ending, as we just realized, in 1 week from today, which is unbelievable. But other than all of that, how are we today?
I'm doing good. The realization that 1 week left of class of my college career is kind of shocking. Looking forward to it finally being over. Really, never thought I'd be saying this, but kind of looking forward to graduation. Don't have a job, but I mean, life after graduation hopefully gets better. You know, no more
school. That's what they say.
They say it gets better, but I don't know. It's pretty awesome right now, but ready for classes end, ready for the playoffs to go on. Hopefully the Knicks can carry us through these last few weeks of school.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Obviously, finals, a lot of finals. Unfortunately, I have one more year of school left. Took the gap year, so price you got to pay. But no, it's exciting. One more week left of classes, as mentioned. But I'm just locked in on finals and trying to motivate myself to like get cranking on that.
Yeah. Well, when you need a break from your classes, tune into the NBA playoffs. Right now, I don't know if the Knicks are really going to raise your spirits, especially after that loss to the Hawks. But they're two games into the series. The series is tied 1-1 after two games at MSG. Owen was at the first on Sunday. I was at the last game on Monday. Owen, you definitely got a better game than me.
Yeah, I got the win. And for most of the Knicks dominated the game I was at for almost the entire game. I mean, they dominated the game on Tuesday. Monday. I'm losing track of days here. Game two, they dominated that game almost the entire game, then just absolutely fell apart in the fourth quarter. And it kind of almost happened in game one. Also, the Hawks go on a 12-0 run at one point in the last 3 minutes to make it a 7-point game. Flashbacks of game one in the Pacers series. But they have had a problem closing out games in this year, last year's playoffs, a couple games where they really show the whole game they're the much better team than in the last 5 minutes. It's like, not even just the last 5 minutes. I mean, on Monday, it was the whole fourth quarter. 12 points in the entire fourth quarter. If you're a championship caliber team, that obviously can't happen. And they were in the bonus with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and I think they had four total free throws in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's just bad basketball. You have free.
And OG didn't make two, yeah.
Yeah, you'd free throws because you can just go every time you get fouled, you go on the line. Get downhill and get to the basket. And they didn't do that. Threw up a lot of threes. They shot terrible from three the entire game. I was watching a game with my friend, and at one point, I think it was when the Knicks were up one or with like 3 minutes left, and Josh Hart threw up that like end of the shot clock three, and it didn't go in. We're like, they're going to lose this game because if Josh Hart's not even making the end of the shot clock like prayer heaves, then this game's over. And that was a tough one on game two. Game one was a good win for the Knicks. Felt like they should have won that game by 30. Did a good job defensively. And honestly, offensively, I thought they looked really good because they were spreading the ball. Great ball movement. That changed in game two.
Yeah, I was in attendance for both games, actually.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And it was really a tale of two games, or tale of two halves, whatever you want to call it. First game, it felt like they knew what they were up against. I don't want to say like Atlanta, because they lost. Of course, I was talking my smack to my father, saying that they were going to sweep them. You know, it's a whole...
Should have swept them.
Yeah, should have swept them. And then you blow them out in the first game. I mean, they made a little run at the end of game one, but it was pretty much all checks and balances and all put aside, but it felt like the second game they were playing with money, house money, and some questionable rotational decisions by Mike Brown, not having Jalen Brunson or Karl Anthony Towns in at the same time. I think there was like a 3-minute stretch of that, which really cost them in the end. But they've got to make their damn free throws. Like, there's no sugarcoating it. You make those two. You don't call timeout. What confused me was they had an extra timeout. I think they had like 3 timeouts left with like 3 minutes to go. They should have called
it. Yeah, they didn't use the use it or lose
it timeout. They used it or lose it timeout. And then they call it with 2:43. Now you're left with 1 timeout.
Also in the middle of a fast break. That one made no sense.
It all made zero sense. This fourth quarter, I mean, for so many reasons, this Knicks game became such a... The media just ate it up. Because on one end of things, like, you have Mike Brown calling his timeout way too early with 2 minutes left when you needed that with 10 seconds left in the game.
He should have called it like 20 seconds earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Save your other one for later. Yeah. And then NBC putting up the wrong graphic. Media's also eating that up because you have everyone getting mad. It's so bad.
That's like someone had to have lost their job over that.
The Knicks probably were going to lose this game either way, but just how bad it was, considering this whole NBC thing as well, it made it so much worse.
Yeah, I mean,
did it say? And you guys are both at the game. Did it say like 0 timeouts on the big screen? Like
yeah,
going
we,
there,
we knew
yeah,
there.
0 timeouts. Yeah.
So everyone there knew that there was no timeout.
I thought everyone at home. Yeah.
We were talking like when I was watching my friends like, oh, hey, they don't have a timeout, so like they just have to throw up a half court heave or just push it down the court, and then they didn't put it up until after the first missed free throw. So CJ missed his first free throw. There was no timeouts, and then they added a timeout.
Oh.
So right when he's about to take the second one, everyone was like, wait, we have a timeout. So that's when it got so confusing because everyone at home was like, oh, so they don't have a timeout, and all of a sudden it got put up after the free throw. And I don't know how that even happened. But then the broadcasters also
talked about that.
They had a timeout. Like, that was part of, like, the end of the game call was they chose not to use a timeout, which caused, like, a whole different discussion around the game, which I think is kind of unfair. Like, there's so many criticisms of Mike Brown, but then it's like, that was all the hate was, why are you not calling a timeout?
Yeah, I mean, and you could probably still criticize, like, again, not calling that timeout earlier so that you have your timeout then later down the stretch. But, that one was not his fault.
And then no Cat and Brunson minutes at the same. No, like, what is that?
And also in the last 4 minutes, they went scoreless for, like, 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, they didn't
regardless whether they're on the court or not. That cannot happen all the way down the stretch when I think the Hawks were on like another 10-0 stretch in those minutes.
Yeah, like let's give credit where credit's due. I mean, the Hawks really like played the way they're supposed to play, and they knew they had to get this game if they want to make this a series. And they just outplayed them in the fourth quarter. I felt like the Knicks sort of sagged off. The intensity wasn't there. Just missed shot after missed shot. And if you have too many empty possessions, they're going to come back and haunt you. And CJ McCollum was just absolutely not
cooking
human.
Brunson.
Yeah.
They're going to have to change up their defense because they can't have Brunson guarding CJ.
Yeah.
Well, the Hawks made an adjustment late in that game, too, which...
Yeah, they started putting a center on Hart, and that's completely changed the way they used Cat. Like, I feel like the Knicks had made no adjustments from game one to game two. And you talked about the intensity in the fourth quarter. I feel like this team isn't playing with a playoff intensity in either game. It felt like watching them, it felt like game one felt like they played it like a regular season game, except for a few moments where, like, they'd hit a big shot and you could see that, like, the playoff emotion. But otherwise, and especially in game two, that fourth quarter felt like the fourth quarter of a regular season game the way they were playing.
Well, one of the things that also, I was so upset leaving this game. Obviously, they lost by one, and just the way it happened, it all just pissed me off. But then, sitting in the post-game press conference, right, Mike Brown does his opening spiel before reporters get to ask questions. One of the first things he said was, we just got to lock in a little bit better in a playoff game. It's tough to win against a good team when you shoot 60% from the free throw line, which I think is crazy because, A, yes, make your free throws. I don't think you can blame losing this game on not making enough free throws. And also, why are you talking? Like, what do you mean you're not locked
it's
in
game
enough?
It's game 84 of the season.
Going up 2-0 in the first round of the NBA playoffs is not a crazy ask against this Hawks team before you go down to Atlanta.
A team that's significantly worse than the Knicks, like talent-wise and even just in general. The Knicks are so much better. And I was saying this earlier, like, I'd be disappointed if they didn't sweep. Like, now the Hawks, you're getting them 2 days of momentum to go back to Atlanta. It feels like if they'd won this game, like Ethan, what you said, like, this series would have been, all right, series is over. Like, the Hawks, they're not going to come out in Atlanta, especially when there's not going to be a big Atlanta-heavy crowd. There's going to be a lot of Knicks fans. Like, you could have been going into game three in a split environment and just, like, put the foot on the throat, blow them out by 20. Yeah. Now it's, like, 1-1. This is now a huge game for the Knicks because you can't let one slip away and go down 2-1.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think they're playing with fire right now, and you give a young team like this a little bit of confidence, and all of a sudden they can make you pay, and they should be playing this series like they would be playing Boston. Like, that's kind of the level of intensity that you want to see in a playoff game. And they're a veteran group, the Knicks. They should not be reminded about the moment. And Josh Hart's got to make threes. He was shot like 41%, I think, or right around there from three in the regular season. And I feel like
he's one for five last game.
Yeah, he can't.
13 boards, though.
I was going to say, I don't know if necessarily Josh Hart is the problem in this series. I think he's in one of actually the better people for this Knicks team. For me, also watching the game yesterday, fourth quarter aside, the Knicks' second rotation
abysmal.
Was horrible during this game. And I think even if that group made 50% more of the shots or, like, a couple more, like, someone in that group, if someone got hot, they would have been in a much better position come the fourth quarter, and even if they were still outshot by 13, it might not have been as bad. Deuce McBride.
Terrible in both teams.
Terrible. He could not get a point together. He could not start a point. They had to get Jose Alvarado on the court for anything to happen offensively, whether the shot went in or not. Deuce McBride just unable to lead his rotation.
He can't be the ball handler. Like, he's always good though when he's out on the floor with either Kat or Brunson, and then they're expecting him to lead the group when there's no Kat or Brunson on the floor. Like, if you're going to do that, then you have to put in, like, a true point guard, like Kolek. Like, let him be the ball handler, or let Clarkson be the ball handler. Like, two guys that can, like, distribute and kind of create, like, plays on their own without – like, Deuce is a spot-up shooter. Same with Landry Shamet. Like, these guys aren't creating their own shot. And then you're having them out there, like, alone. It's like, it's not going to work because then you don't have to guard anyone.
The problem is Brown is doing way too much experimenting.
It's always, like, overthinking it.
Yeah. At this point in the season, I mean, he's playing 9 or 10 guys, which is fine, but it's like you should – be playing, I feel like, nine guys, not be, like, bringing in, you know, guys like, I mean, sure, I give Kolek a look, but these are, like, playoff minutes, obviously, and it seems like Atlanta raised their intensity level, and I think, because I watched the post-game press conference, he was saying that we didn't match their intensity because they brought it up and
which could be true, but there's also no excuse for that.
Yeah.
That I don't know if that's a locker room problem at that point, but there's zero excuse for the first round of the playoffs to not have enough energy, time. You have at least 2 days in between games. Intensity is not a good enough excuse for not – either coaching well, playing well, down the stretch.
I think he just has to admit he's got to coach better. Like, he didn't put his team in a position to win that game because, again, the timeout issue, like, with all due respect, why the hell is Mikal Bridges shooting?
That last shot?
Yeah, fall back, baby.
Josh Hart should have just took it to the rim.
That was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why
Josh Hart.
Anyone just take it to the rim, get fouled.
I saw the like video from the Sky Bridge, and like it's even worse than like on TV because he had an angle to get to the rim, and he did that weird hezzy at the 3-point line. Like, I don't know if that was like he just didn't think he was going to get to the rim, and then like, but I thought if he goes to the rim there, he's probably getting fouled, or like they block your shot. Like, that's a much better contested shot. Like, try to get fouled. Or kick it back to Josh Hart, who's had all the momentum. I wish I think looking back on it, like, Hart obviously is going to look for other people to take the game winner, but him pushing down the court, I like his odds of just getting to the rim and getting fouled.
Drive and kick. And
yeah.
Because he would have.
Yeah, he would have been able to get to the rim and just probably would have gotten fouled. Or a Josh Hart contested layup or like when he's going full court, as he'll usually go in.
Even if Bridges took it to the rim, I just didn't understand the decision to...
The step back.
For the step back.
Yeah.
I also like the second it left his hand, I was like, that's not going in.
No.
Like, I had no confidence in him hitting a game winner there.
It was kind of crazy. I don't know if you felt the same way being there, Ethan, but at least like where I was, that shot happened and it just went like quiet. Yeah. Everyone was just like, There's zero way. Because there was a little part of you that was like, you know what, the Knicks have been here before. They like, not that they like it, but these fourth quarters happen often. The fourth quarter of doom sometimes is where they find themselves. But sometimes they pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, two years ago today, it was a DiVincenzo shot.
Yeah, yeah. So in the back of my head, I was like, you know what? Like, they're still in
crazier things have happened.
Crazier things have happened. It's not unlike them to have like the insane finish in the last 2 seconds of the game, but that was just probably one of the worst ways they could have lost that game.
It feels weird though, because like after that happened, I was not as devastated as I thought I would feel. Like this series, I still have so much confidence in them winning that the devastating loss that this like first round loss feels nothing like some of those other losses. The one where Maxey like hit that like full court or half court shot to send it to OT. Obviously the Halliburton shot last year. Some of those other games. Like this game did not feel as heartbreaking as some of the other losses. Which I don't know if that just speaks to like the belief in this team to get out of this series in five or what, but I don't know. I'm still not worried. If they lose Thursday, if they lose tomorrow, then I'll be very concerned. Otherwise though.
I think we all sort of know, or at least confident, that that the Knicks are gonna win the series. But I feel like you needed to get game two because you want to end this series in four or five. Well, obviously not four anymore, but
and get the extra rest before you have to play Boston.
Yeah, I'm worried that they're gonna end up playing six or seven games. Six, seven. I know.
like that one. I don't know if it could get to seven.
Well, of course.
No.
That'd be a disaster. Yeah. I'd have no faith in this team. I would actually blow it up. Trade everyone in game seven.
You need the max amount of rest against likely Boston team, but Boston lost last night.
Yeah, dropped the game to the Sixers.
Which is
considerably
crazy.
Which I did not think was going to happen at all in the series. And now if Embiid comes back.
I'm rooting for the Sixers. But
the Sixers are a worse matchup, I think, if the Knicks move on before the Knicks and the Celtics are. They've given the Knicks problems all year. VJ Edgecombe is going to be a star. Yeah. I mean, he might already be a star. And
but
Embiid
Nick Nurse
healthy,
runs his players into the ground. You see Maxey in game one in a 30-point blowout. He played 37 minutes.
I mean, Maxey led the league in minutes. Or he was up there in league leaders in minutes.
These guys are gonna be gassed. He played 39 more minutes on in game two.
I was shocked last night when I saw like the Sixers. I mean, that would have been a terrible night for Boston sports fans if the Bruins had lost too. Red Sox lost, Celtics lost, and if the Bruins had lost too, that'd been brutal for them. But oh my God. I mean, if the Sixers pulled that one off, I'd be shocked.
Well, it feels very similar to where this Knicks Hawks series is, where the Celtics dropped the game. In a not very good game on their part either. Same thing happened to the Knicks, but both these teams were expecting to see in the second round. So, realistically, it is a Celtics-Hawks. Or, oh my God.
Wow.
Don't claim that. Celtics-Knicks second round series, which will be competitive. And when you
Repeat of
last year. Got some vengeance on both sides.
I think fans need to relax, though, because I feel like we're jumping the gun and assuming that Boston and New York is going to play in the second round, which maybe they will, but they got to take care of business in the first round before we can even start the whole Knicks Celtics.
You're not talking like those fans who were jumping outside of MSG after game two. Did you see these videos, Ethan? It was so bad. What are we doing? Go home.
Why are you celebrating? Like, even the ones after the win.
We'll see you in game.
They're getting
mad.
Yeah. So. I don't know. It's just people looking to get internet famous, and like, it's not genuine anymore. But I mean, celebrating after a loss, like, come on.
Crazy work.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Puts the fan base in such a bad place.
Just go home and scroll Twitter. Or like doom scroll all night.
Yeah, just angry posts on Twitter. That's
exactly.
Good enough.
It's my favorite part of Nick playoff runs.
Into
just never
abyss.
Actually doing my job when I'm home for like once the school ends, and I'm just sitting on my phone, just angry tweeting about the coaching. It's
well,
my
that,
favorite activity.
That's what Twitter is kind of funny for me, because after the game, I was like, I need to launch an angry tweet, but I'm still here reporting. So like,
don't want my comfort.
Gotta wait like 1 hour. Yeah, don't want anyone coming out for me.
Don't want any security cameras and microphones around MSG. Might start hunting us down. Can't talk bad about them.
Oh, God. Yeah. But Knicks still in a fine spot right now. We'll see what happens. That game, game two, will be in Atlanta tomorrow at 7, I believe. So tune into that.
On Amazon. It sucks.
On Amazon.
I can't even watch it on my TV.
Yeah.
Is it not on DirecTV?
No, I don't have like cable in my apartment or our house. Place
gotcha.
Is a dump. There's no cable there. We have a half broken TV that we can sometimes watch Knicks games on.
I've resorted to the DirecTV on the computer, and it feels very desperate. But...
to watch the games.
Right. Yep. My blue and orange teams who refuse to win.
Oh yeah, 12 in a row.
Yeah, feeling
things
great.
Come in dozens. Come on now.
So funny.
So bad.
I'm a Met fan as well, and.
It's brutal time.
I would love to rant on Devin Williams right now.
Our favorite pitcher, Devin Williams.
Yeah,
Yankee legend.
Tonight's
slate is terrible. Magic, Pistons, Suns, Thunder.
I was just going to say, looking around the other side.
How about Orlando pulling out a...
And Bron, 41-year-old LeBron.
I was going to say, Lakers up 2-0 on the Rockets right now.
Oh, yeah. Bronny alone. Bron is all alone in L.A., and he's up 2-0. That's why he's the GOAT. He's literally the GOAT. They said he couldn't be done. He's literally
and
the
he's
GOAT.
Doing it. And
what
he's
was
literally
what,
doing
what was
it.
Michael Jordan doing at 41? Not this. Not doing reverse dunks in playoff series alone with no help.
Unbelievable.
With
actually.
Arguably the best player in the league sitting on the bench injured. LeBron, 41 years old, carrying a team 28 points last night. Oh my God.
With his son watching on.
With his son playing. Doesn't Bronny get playoff minutes?
Did he play?
Three minutes for Bronny.
Let's go, Bronny.
And he was a plus one.
Nice.
We look at plus minus here. Plus one. Bronny was contributed to a win.
That's a value add.
I know. Luke Kennard also is playing out of his mind. He had, last game, I think he had 35 points and then 23 last night. 27 and 23 points.
Yeah.
Luke Kennard, Duke legend. Also, LeBron went to watch him when he was playing in high school. That's the full soccer moment. Also, Marcus Smart, 25 points.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart is 100 years old. Wow. The Lakers might... What if the Lakers... what if Lakers-Knicks finals?
Sneaky Lakers pick.
Lakers-Knicks finals?
Crazy.
That'd be
the most expensive
ticket of all time.
Yeah. They kind of have a tough... They would have a tough road to get there, but not impossible.
Who would they have, the Thunder?
I think it would be Spurs. Well...
Oh, are they the Spurs?
Thunder?
Yeah. Oh, that's not happening. Thunder are going to destroy the Suns in four.
Originally in my bracket, I had Spurs, Knicks, but now with Wemby out with the concussion.
I saw that video. I'd be shocked if he comes back within like this series. His head smashed the court so hard. I can't believe his like bones aren't broken. It vibrated his whole head. I was like,
that's such a tough loss for the Spurs.
I know. I don't think they'll struggle with Portland though.
I mean, they did lose game two, so.
Yeah, but, like, losing your star player in the middle of the game.
I was
going to
say,
like,
that's, like, probably an energy.
Yeah.
There's a way for them to regroup there. Nuggets, Timberwolves also tied 1-1 right now.
Those series are always just cinema. Best games ever, and they all end at, like, 2 a.m.
Yeah, 9:30 p.m. start. Whew, for next game.
Yeah, I know. The other night was 10:57 tip.
10:57?
Yeah, after
the
Knicks game, because the Knicks game went long, I think.
That's true. That's a West game or West Coast.
I mean, think about the 8 o'clock start. What time did you get home from
the
game?
8 o'clock
one?
Start was sneaky horrible.
It's hard. It's so bad.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's fun that it's at night, but then the game ends. The game probably ended
10:30.
It was almost. I thought it was almost near. Like it was late.
Maybe a little
11,
bit later.
11.
Maybe it could have been closer to 11. And then I probably was out of MSG. I think I left at like midnight, actually. Yeah. So it probably was, I got home at 1.
The 6 o'clock start was cinema.
Six o'clock on the Saturday before.
It was like, and the game, but the, even the game was so long on Saturday, and then it went, I got out of there like I don't know, I think I got out of there like 10:30. I was like, this is awesome.
It's great.
Mike Brown taking 30 minutes to come out to the press. That's just another.
Even after the win?
Yeah, it took him 32 minutes. We timed it. 32 minutes after the game had ended to come out to the press conference for game one.
That's crazy. He was pretty quick after the loss.
Yeah, we were all just sitting there just like waiting. Now it's like, all the other media is a first time like experiencing it. Like everyone else who's always there is like, all right, I have 30 minutes to just like,
you take your time to scroll, coming down from
like,
the bridge.
Walk down.
Yeah.
You're like chilling. All the other media is like, where is this guy? One of the cameramen fell asleep. He was so, everyone heard snoring. Turn around. The cameraman was like asleep waiting for Mike Brown.
Oh my God.
It was
he must
awesome.
Have had a long day. Yeah, that's hilarious. No, he was pretty quick after the loss, and then surprisingly, Brunson and Hart were pretty quick too after Brown finished when they came out.
Yeah, mine was not like that.
That's tough. None of them wanted to actually talk, which is fair enough. So
yeah. They
were just like, get this over with. But yeah, lots going on. Got some more games tonight. Knicks again play tomorrow night at 7 in Atlanta. Let's hope for a win so that Owen and I can get back to some more games.
I don't know, two games and then close them out in game 5.
Yeah.
Close it out at the Garden.
3 in a row. Bring it home.
I feel like that's not a tough ask.
It shouldn't be.
Atlanta stinks.
I mean, if you're calling yourself a championship contender, you got to finish this in 5.
They also won both games in Atlanta during the regular season.
Yeah.
So
didn't get off that like half court heave.
Yeah. But a win is a win.
Yeah. They can't put away teams. That's always been their problem.
No, it's always
especially
been
with like even I thought it was gonna be leave with the Tibbs when Tibbs was fired, but God. I don't think Mike Brown makes it after this season.
Really?
Unless they make the finals, I think he's fired.
Yeah.
Because especially with Billy Donovan and Steve Kerr being on the coaching market.
Yeah.
And they wanted Billy Donovan bad. Because remember they kept requesting interviews for him and they were just kept getting denied. So I would not be shocked. Especially if they don't make the finals.
If they don't make the finals, yeah.
And lose to like a team that they like, or even if they like lose it, like if they lose to the Pistons in the conference finals, like if it's a good series, like that isn't coaching, but I don't know.
Yeah, it might come down to coaching in these last few games. But we shall see. Lots more to see. But that will do it for us today on Pick and Pod. For Ethan Wax, Owen Kelty, I'm Gabby Price. This has been a production of WFUV Sports.